Hello, fellow Rebel Capitals. Hope you're well. So I just saw an article on CNBC talking about Warren Buffett. He just had his big annual meeting, and he is as bearish as he has ever been. And this is not coming from George Gammon. This is coming from a gentleman that knows him well, and it seems like he's been a large investor in Berkshire Hathaway for many, many years. So let's go right over to this clip from CNBC talking about, you know, what Warren Buffett is doing right now and how this gentleman can tell that he's as bearish as he has ever been. And then I'm going to go over some charts, and then we can connect some dots to determine why he is so bearish. Again, this isn't George Gammon talking. This is Warren Buffett, for heaven's sake. So let's get right over to CNBC and check this out. Here we go. This is the gentleman, Bill Smead.
And he has absolutely no interest in offending people. But if you look at what he's doing, he is as bearish as he ever gets. I read right between the lines, right from the beginning at the meeting on Saturday. I was there sitting in the audience, and I thought, okay, huge cash position, trimmed his Apple position. He's nibbling on something below the surface they haven't announced yet. But basically, he is waiting until the next 40% decline in the stock market to apply massive amounts of capital at bargain prices in things that are large enough to be meaningful to this company at the size it is now.
Huh, Josh, that reminds me of someone else we know that's holding a big cash position right now, just waiting for the stock market to go down by 40% so we can buy things when they're cheap. Who is that guy? I know there's someone we know that is employing that exact same strategy. And I think he is holding his cash position in T-bills, rolling that over, and then keeping about 10% in gold. If the name comes to me, I'll let you guys know. That's me, by the way.
So you just used the phrase, this is as bearish, I believe you said, as I have ever seen him. Is that really the right characterization, or is it rather that he thinks the market is too highly priced for him to go in a big way and put fresh capital to work?
What's the difference?
In other words, is it so much a bearish call as it is a rejection of the idea that this is an opportunistic time to invest?
Tyler, you have asked a great question. So I'm going to answer this in kind of an odd way. In 1969, he pivoted from being primarily a quantitative Ben Graham value guy to being more of a Charlie Munger qualitative guy, right? Get a reasonable price on a great company. And he said back in 67, 68, 69, that the quantitative ideas that he used to like to buy were combed and recombed. That was his letter to partners. And this last year, he said that the kind of things that we would like to do have been endlessly picked over. So that is code for, we think the market's expensive. We're not in any hurry. We're going to wait. And remember, he's talked constantly for 10 to 15 years that the bigger Berkshire gets, the more it limits their opportunities.
Right.
So really, to have very large opportunities for large deployments of that $200 billion, you've got to have the entire market get into very difficult circumstances.
Okay. So again, we go back to kind of the 40. He's on the sidelines right now. He might not be expecting the world to come to an end, but he doesn't see a lot of opportunities. So he thinks there's a better probability that the market goes down substantially, and that creates some companies that are good and cheap, and then he can go ahead and pull the trigger, take action. You know what's interesting? I got to switch up the screen share, guys, to go over to some charts. But as most of you know, I've been spending a lot of time in St. Bart's, really trying to learn from some of the greats there and some of the, quite frankly, some of the best hedge fund managers that we have seen over the past about 30, 40 years. And one of the things that they told me is never buy or sell a company based strictly on valuation. Never. So never, ever, ever short something just because it's too expensive. or never ever buy something just because it's quote unquote cheap. There always has to be some sort of catalyst, or the market has to be offsides, or there's got to be panic. There's got to be hysteria. And those are the things that Jim Rogers talks about. You know, we go back to 2020 and you say, well, George, you were buying things hand over fist back then, especially commodities. And that is absolutely true. So what was the catalyst? The catalyst there was that the market was just in a massive panic. I mean, you guys remember that well. And then we fast forward, if we want the flip side of that coin, no pun intended, and we look at some of the cryptocurrencies in 2021. When did they top out? The beginning of 2022, something like that. And this was not panic. This was the opposite. This was hysteria. So that tells you that it's probably not a good time to buy. So you've got to look at the emotional or the psychological factors that go into the market along with all these other variables. But it can't be just because it's cheap or just because it's expensive. And I think that's along the lines of what this gentleman was saying and what he's interpreting by Warren Buffett's actions. The one thing he says, when you're looking at Buffett, like a lot of people, you've got to look at what they do, not at what they say. So that's when he was talking about his huge cash position and all these other things that he's actually doing. And by the way, I don't know if they mentioned it in that video, but he really pared back his position in Apple the other day while saying that it's a fantastic company. So, okay, if it's that great of a company, then he's probably paring that position back because he's incredibly bearish on the macroeconomic factors that are involved. I mean, he's obviously looking at the yield curve as well. He's talking to the banksters. I mean, if there's any financial insider in the world today, it's obviously Warren Buffett. So think about all the insider intel that he gets. I'm not saying it's illegal, but he's sitting there talking to Jamie Dimon. He's talking to all these huge corporate CEOs around the world, and they're likely telling him that, hey, as far as we can see, the stuff's hitting the fan. Hey guys, I want to invite each and every one of you to join me May 31st through June 2nd in Orlando for Rebel Capitalist Live. This is the annual conference I do, and this year it's going to be absolutely incredible. We're going to have some of your favorites there as speakers, guys like Jeff Snyder, Mike Green, The Real Estate, Kenny McElroy. We're going to have Robert Barnes. They're talking about freedom and liberty. Even Rich Cooper is going to be there discussing red pill issues. This event is all about giving you the intel, the insider information you need to not only survive 2024, but thrive. The whole reason I created this event was to give you the tools you need to build the future you deserve for yourself and your family. This is an event you are not going to want to miss. So to get more information, go to rebelcapitalistlive.com. You can see a full list of speakers we've had in the past. You can see clips from past events. And most importantly, you can get your tickets. As we get closer to the event, the tickets go up in price. So you're going to want to get those ASAP at rebelcapitalistlive.com. And we will see you in Orlando, May 31st through June 2nd. Now that we got the screen share switched up here, let's go over to some of the headlines that I'm sure Warren Buffett is seeing on a daily basis. So in addition to the insider intel that you're not seeing on Zero Hedge, that you're not seeing on CNBC, you're not seeing on Bloomberg. But here is just Roblox shares drop more than 20%. This company cuts annual bookings. These are just some stories that I saw from the CNBC homepage today. Just today. Muted player spending. I'm assuming this is an online video game. You've got ARM, and this is a chip designer. Same exact thing. They came out, announced earnings, but they said that the revenue guidance is going to be lower, lackluster is what they're calling it. We go over to Warner Brothers. This is from today as well. Misses first quarter estimate despite streaming growth. And then we were covering this story last week. The pullback from the consumer, long predicted consumer pullback, finally hits restaurants like Starbucks, KFC, McDonald's. I know we've been hearing stuff like this from Target as well. So this is coming to kind of like a crescendo here. with all of these entities, not all, but a lot of these entities that are representative of what's happening in the real economy and the consumer. They're looking out at the future and they're saying, yeah, that we see some storm clouds, but it doesn't end there. I just did a quick Google search and you guys can see what I looked up. Companies that reported lower revenue guidance. We've got Meta, got AMD we just talked about, Meta again. We've got weak revenue growth, soft guidance, send Dropbox shares lower. Now that was back in February. Here is one from a couple weeks ago, US Bank Corp earnings, company lowers 2024 guidance for both net interest income and expense. Broadcom edges lower, although they had strong earnings. Okay, so that's a little bit different. But here is Estee Lauder, and I would say that they're more representative of what's happening in the real economy. This is from 1 week ago. Headwinds will hurt sales, and this sends the stock lower. So, I mean, you can go on and Google, and you can find, you know, tens of maybe hundreds of these types of stories where businesses are, although they might be doing okay now, they're saying the future doesn't look that good. And, you know, I was listening to my good buddy Adam Taggart the other day on a podcast that he did with David Rosenberg, and they are talking about the Beige Book. This is something that we've discussed on this channel many, many times. And Dave reads every single brown book or beige book that comes out, and he was saying that you can almost see the narrative at the Fed really shifting as far as the economic outlook for 2024 and 2025 by the anecdotal evidence they're collecting with the surveys that are aggregated into this beige book. But that's not all. This just came out today as well. We got weekly jobless claims jumped to 231,000, the highest since August. I won't go into the article, but just read the key talking points here. Let's see. Jobless claims totaled seasonally adjusted 231 for the week. It's up 22,000 from the week before. Jobless claims totaled a seasonal adjusted. Oh, that's up. Yeah. So that's up the highest level since August, and it's up 22,000 from just last week. Continuing claims, which run a week behind, increased 1.78 million, up 17,000 from the previous week. And if you guys remember, just a week or so ago, we had the headline jobs numbers come out that massively disappointed to the downside. That's not all. Let's look at this article from Reuters. U.S. banks, and this is just from a couple days ago, U.S. banks repeat weaker loan demand, according to a Fed survey. And this makes a lot of sense when you look at the most recent report from the New York Fed talking about household debt and credit. Now, their Q1 report should be coming out very soon. So I'm going to track that. We'll go over that on this channel. But this is Q4 of 2023, and we can already see it starting to get really, really bad. And I can't imagine that it's gotten better. I would assume my base case would be that it's gotten worse. So here you go. Total household debt rose by $212 billion. But the important part here is the amount of delinquencies that they've been seeing, more specifically in auto loan balances. This rose by $12 billion to 1.64. And the delinquency transition rates increased for all debt types except for student loans. I wonder why. I wonder why, because Joe Biden is forgiving. He's forgiving all the delinquent student loans. So, wow, that really, imagine that. You know, if you forgive all the delinquent student loans, surprise, surprise, there's no more delinquencies. But what this is saying is that the delinquency transition rates increased for all debt types. Okay, got it. And they show the chart here. This is total balance of household debt. And let me go back to the prior link here. This was what I was reading. I think this gives us a few more details. They say credit card and auto loan transition into delinquency are still rising above pre-pandemic levels. That's key, said Wilbert von der Klau, economic research advisor at the New York Fed. This signals increased financial stress, especially among younger and lower income households, which is interesting because if you guys remember the report from the Atlanta Fed that we reference on this channel all the time, the young people have experienced the highest wage growth. So they've been the least impacted by consumer price inflation. In fact, they've probably benefited from consumer price inflation, but yet now even this demographic is feeling financial stress. So when you combine all of these factors together, and then you look at things like the yield curve, we can look at the near-term forward spread, and this is the curve that the Fed pays most attention to, and we can see that that's still massively inverted. This hasn't changed. So when you combine all of these things together and you look at what Warren Buffett is doing, it makes a lot of sense. And the last thing that I'd point out is just simply the Buffett indicator itself. And when this thing gets above 150%, it's not good, right? Things aren't cheap. Now, again, we're not going to buy them just because they're cheap or sell them just because they're expensive. But you combine this with everything else, and this gives you a bigger picture as to what the probabilities are moving forward. And we can see the Buffett indicator is at 182% right now. And boy, oh boy, I mean, if you use this and just bought when it was under, just call it the mean, you're doing pretty well. But again, that was at a time when there was panic. Look at how long the Buffett indicator was under this level, which again, if you go back and look at history, it still would have been a really good time to buy. But the reason you have this kind of rubber band effect, this snapback as quick as you did right here during the Cervasa sickness or the GFC, is because you had emotion, a lot of emotion involved in the decision-making, which led to the market drop to begin with. And I think that's probably what Warren Buffett sees on the horizon. And that's why he is taking the actions that he is taking right now, which would lead this person that knows him well to the conclusion that he is the most bearish he has ever been. All right, guys, enjoy the rest of your afternoon. As always, make sure that you're standing up for freedom, liberty, free market, capitalism. You got to get your tickets to Rebel Capitalist Live. It's going to be the best event, the best conference we've done. Absolutely guarantee it. And we're going to have some amazing speakers, some amazing guests. So check out the whole list and the whole itinerary right over at RebelCapitalistLive.com. You can get your tickets there, and we'll see you soon in a couple weeks at Rebel Capitalist Live.